Welcome to Truth Matters Church, contending for the faith one verse at a time. Today we finish our in-depth study of the four beasts found in Daniel's vision, looking at the fearsome beast with iron teeth. Using scripture as our guide, we look at what this means for end times prophecy. We strongly recommend downloading the handout with maps and charts to get the most from today's study at truthmatterschurch.org/resources. Here is Pastor Alex.
We are picking up our study into Daniel's visions of the four beasts. We have gone through three of them, and we are now at the fourth beast in Daniel's vision, in which the title of this study is called The Iron Teeth King. A reminder of our mini-series outline. As you see, we're starting to make a lot of good check marks here. We're getting closer and closer to finally getting to the book of Revelation. But I do want to also just remind us that this study that we're going through here, it's not going to be for naught. We will be referring to this, and thankfully, because we went through the legwork, when we get to Revelation and when it connects, we already did the backdrop, and that can just bring it back in to help us understand John's vision in Revelation. So we find ourselves on the fourth and final beast of Daniel's vision. As a way of reminder, I mean, it took a lot to get here, but trying to stay true to Daniel's vision of when he was given this vision and he saw the angel stirring up the great sea, and when we went through all that work and exercise trying to stay with Scripture, we are grounded in the Mediterranean Sea or region, meaning when Daniel sees kings, you know, or beasts arise from the sea, we deduce that that's from the Mediterranean Sea. And for the first three kings, in trying to stick with Scripture, you know, for king number one, the lion with eagle's wings, where we landed with that, the first king in Daniel's vision who's in play is Turkey, Syria, Lebanon, Israel, and Egypt. When we got to the second part of Daniel's vision in the bear with three ribs in its mouth, king number two, we only actually had one, which was pretty cool. So the only candidate, at least that we found so far through the study, that would be the second king in Daniel's vision, this bear who was on one side and was raised up on one side, was raised up from one side, that would be Israel or Judah. And the third king, which we've covered in our last study, the leopard with four heads and four wings, where we landed when we kind of went through that exercise, was who's in play for this third king in Daniel's vision was Libya and Egypt. And I'll just tell you right now, we can actually eliminate Libya. As I continue to go through Daniel, that it's Egypt. But nonetheless, because that stayed true to ancient Nimrod, which was ancient Africa, ancient Egypt, Libya was in play, but as we continue in our study, Egypt is the third king. So really, king two and king three, we can feel pretty good that it's going to be a king from Judah and a king from Egypt in that order. But our goal for today's study, when I read this, I was like, this is really the goal, right? Where will this fourth king, the iron teeth, where will it arise from? That's what we're going to try to answer in our study. And then the main course, what kind of beast is he? When these questions seem pretty easy, right? Like, oh yeah, oh my gosh, it's not. Like, no, I really wanted to give up. Like, this is out of my wheelhouse. I'm just being transparent because this is very, very difficult. Just continue to persevere through it and say, you know what, Lord, what really works to when you get stuck in Scripture is just kind of take a baby step at a time. And in doing that, starting to get a little more confidence, I guess you can say, encouraged, and then we get to where we're going to get to today. So these two questions are what this is the goal for our study, but as you'll see when we start to unpack this, I might lose some of you. I kind of recognize that. So I'm going to try my best to walk through and explain things the best way I can so that we can stay on course, because this is the goal for today's study. So let's go ahead and read our passage, once again, for the setting. We'll read Daniel 7, 1 through 8. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and visions in his mind as he lay on his bed. Then he wrote the dream down and related the following summary of it. Daniel said, I was looking in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts were coming up from the sea, different from one another. The first was like a lion and had the wings of an eagle. I kept looking until its wings were plucked, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. A human mind also was given to it. And behold, another beast, the second one, resembling a bear. And it was raised up on one side, and 3 ribs were in its mouth between its teeth. And thus they said to it, arise, devour much meat. After this, I kept looking, and behold, another one like a leopard, which had on its back 4 wings of a bird. The beast also had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. After this, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, a 4th beast, dreadful and terrifying and extremely strong, and it had large iron teeth. It devoured and crushed and trampled down the remainder with its feet. And it was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. While I was contemplating the horns, behold, another horn, a little one, came up among them, and 3 of the first horns were pulled out by the roots before it, and behold, this horn possessed eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth uttering great boasts. So let's exposit this leading into our close look into the 4th beast in Daniel's vision. So let's relook at Daniel 7:7. It says there, after this, after his vision of the 3rd beast, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, a 4th beast, dreadful and terrifying and extremely strong, and it had large iron teeth. It devoured and crushed and trampled down the remainder with its feet, and it was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. So the question is, who is this 4th, and I intentionally put this Mediterranean king, a.k.a. the Iron Teeth King. And for the last time, I'm happy to say we're going to look at some common misinterpretations, and then we're going to look to Scripture. I'm not going to belabor the point. You saw this many, many times, but this is the most popular out there, that the 4th beast in Daniel's vision corresponds to Rome. Now, I'm going to say this up front when we kind of go through who's in play. I'm not going to be dogmatic to the point in saying ancient Rome isn't it, but I will show you through Scripture where it's taking me in another direction. But nonetheless, this is what's out there, and as we've covered this picture, because this has equates Babylon to the lion with eagle's wings, we already proved through Scripture that that's not the case. So something that's partly right is wrong, right? Like a half lie is not the truth, right? A half truth is a lie at the end of the day. And you're also familiar with this chart here, which equates the 4th beast in Daniel's vision ultimately to, you know, Rome and the modern age, which is the West's British Empire and the East Ottoman Empire. And then finally, Mystery Babylon appears in the last days. And one of the things I noticed in this chart that I didn't mention before, as far as who the small horn is, it makes a comment there that Antichrist has Muslim faith and has allied with the Vatican's Pope, the false prophet. And I can tell you, at least leading into this study, I did have, call it a theory or a strong hunch, that the Antichrist will come from the Muslim faith. However, going through Daniel at least a couple of dozen times, I was able to glean one nugget or truth that had me repent of that. And that is this. It says that, you know, the little horn, the Antichrist, he exalted himself above every old so-called god. And he says he didn't pay no attention to the God of his fathers. So you're like, wait a minute. If you're a Muslim, your fathers believed in Allah, he had no regard for the gods of your fathers, it doesn't add up. So right there, that tells me that no, this is going to be something part. I mean, this Antichrist is going to raise himself even above that, which is pretty interesting. But this chart, you know, makes that argument, and we'll when we get to, you know, further in Daniel's vision, we'll talk about that a little more. But you know, it's interesting. As far as, you know, when you're trying, there's been some pretty cool imaginations about depicting the beast with the iron teeth. And these are just some things I've Googled, and these are some examples. I'm like, wow, it's pretty impressive, right? Because it says fearful, dreadful, exceedingly strong. So you're like, okay, the imagination goes wild because that's the description that was given in Scripture. But what we weren't given, like, where did these pictures come from? Where did that imagination start? Remember, the caution is, if we don't use Scripture to tell us what the beast is or what the beast looks like, then really, it's fair game. And if that's the case, I'll throw this one out there. Mike Tyson with iron teeth. Hey, look, he's wearing a king. He's a crown, man. But there's no difference from this than this. There's really no difference. Because where are you getting that from Scripture? Where are you getting this idea that it looks anything like this? If anything, all we have is just iron teeth right now. That's all we have. Daniel only gave us iron teeth. So let's stick with just iron teeth for now. And then we'll see, when we see what Daniel has to say, where it takes us as far as that goes. So now let's look at Scripture, and let's break down a little bit when Daniel describes this beast with iron teeth that is dreadful and terrifying and exceedingly strong. And we're also going to look at when he describes it as large iron teeth. This is where it's going to get a little heavy, so try to stay with me. But hopefully it starts to make a little sense. And if anything, just know I'm trying to just use Scripture in its original language to see if it gives us insight into what is being communicated. So dreadful is, you know, dekal in Aramaic corresponds to zehal in Hebrew. And dreadful, it means to fear. But here's kind of the idea behind this Aramaic word. It has the idea, and I had to Google, what does slinking mean? Or is crawling? And a best way to think about this, when Daniel is describing this beast with iron teeth as dreadful, have you ever, like, were in fear of danger and you kind of crawled away from it in fear? If you think about you were so dreadful, and you can. And one example could be, you know, let's say you saw, you're afraid of snakes, you're like kind of crawling away. That's kind of the idea of this iron teeth. It's dreadful. It's fearful. It's fearsome. Daniel also talks about this being terrifying, and in Aramaic and Hebrew, it means dreadful, horrific, or fearsome, so along the same lines. But here's what's interesting. When Daniel calls and describes this as extremely strong, it's yatir takit, and it's the same in Aramaic and Hebrew, and it means preeminent. It means surpassing. It means stronger than its predecessor king or nations. So when it's exceedingly strong, it's preeminent, it surpasses the kings before him. And here's another interesting note. Yatir, from extremely strong, it's also used to describe the city of Judah. Interesting. Yatir, so extremely strong is also the yatir, which is used to describe extremely, also is used to, is also the name that is the city of Judah. Now, the second bear king we know, or we've deduced, will also come from Judah. So the second and fourth king, I'm already tipping my hand here, could be both from Judah. That's so far what we're working with. So this king of iron teeth will be stronger than the kings he succeeded, and that's what we have so far. But let's continue to move forward from here. Now let's look at, Daniel describes us as large iron teeth. Large, and we've covered this, this is how we landed at the Mediterranean Sea. Large is Rab. Remember, the Great Sea was the Rab Yam. So Rab is the same word here for when it describes large iron teeth. And Rab, it means great or boastful or large. Now, when it's used to describe, when Rab is describing a person, when you're saying the Rab God or the Rab King, you're describing someone who's in authority, you know, again, a great king, oftentimes boastful, and it's also used, as I mentioned, great God. So if Rab is used to describe a person. It's describing one in some level of authority. And if it's Rab is used to describe a place or a thing, just like the Mediterranean Sea, the Rab Yam, then it's talking about its greatness and large in size, and being large in size. But in context here, Daniel is describing not a place or a thing necessarily, but he's describing a person. So this fourth beast is a king, right? He's a Rab, but he's one with iron teeth. But here's another thing about Rab, and this one, I thought this was a pretty cool find. You know, Rab in Hebrew, it also means archer or bow. Now think about it, just for a moment. In the book of Revelation, the rider on the white horse had a bow. And what's interesting is Rab, also in its in Hebrew, it could also mean an archer or bow. So something to keep in mind when we get to the first seal of Revelation, because as we know, Daniel is looking into the end times, and then John gives us even more into that vision. Now let's look at iron. Iron is parzel in Aramaic, corresponds to barzel with a B in Hebrew, and it means iron. And but it often, here's something, when you see iron or you see parzel, barzel in Hebrew, it is often associated with an axe, an axe head, and chains. And we know in the book of Revelation, when we get to the fourth seal, many believers will be beheaded, presumably with an axe or an axe head in the Great Tribulation. We also know in the book of Revelation, and this is in the letter to Smyrna, that many believers will be arrested and thrown in prison, presumably behind iron bars or even with iron chains. But this is this fourth beast, this fourth king is described as one with iron. Now let's look at teeth. I don't see this one is a lot, it's very tedious, but just stay with me, because hopefully it'll start clicking in some places. So teeth is shen, and it's the same in Aramaic and in Hebrew. And when you see teeth, it means tooth, but oftentimes it's ivory. And it's also used to describe the tooth of an elephant. But the root word of shen, shannon, it speaks of the sharpening of a blade or a weapon. So in context, it's like sharpening an axe or something that is axe-like. So this king is kind of also described as someone sharpening their axe or something axe-like. And teeth, when you're looking at it from a biblical standpoint, when you're like, okay, when teeth is used in Scripture, it is also associated with shattering. So this iron teeth, think shattering. Here's an example. Psalm 3, verse 7, "Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have smitten all my enemies on the cheek. You have shattered the teeth of the wicked." So teeth is associated with shattering. Teeth is also associated with plotting wickedness against the righteous. In Psalm 37:12, "The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes at him with his teeth." So this king who is described as one with large iron teeth, there's also some association with him shattering and with his teeth and going after the righteous. That's how this king is being described. Now I want to talk a little bit about the interpretive challenges when it comes to, okay, where could this king possibly come from? And here's where I can say that I was hitting a wall, because I was like, well, in our great statue vision, the legs of iron was clearly Rome. It was clear. The interpretation was given, historically verified. So what I was trying to do was like, okay, iron is always Rome. And what I found is, that's when I was bumping up against Scripture. I was like, well, is it? But, you know, I mean, is that the case? So is iron legs, including the iron in the partly iron and partly feet of the toes of the statue, the same as iron teeth? Because it says iron legs and iron teeth. So are they the same thing? Meaning they're both, you know, really describing ancient Rome. Or the fact that it says one was talking about legs in a vision, in the great statue vision, and then the iron was associated with teeth in another. The fact that it's two different even body parts, does that steer us in another direction? So I'm going to, and I said this in the beginning, I'm not going to rule out ancient Rome if there was some association with iron and Rome and somehow part in play. I'm not going to be dogmatic and completely eliminate that. But there are a couple of Old Testament scriptures that steers me to another direction, and I'd like to share a couple of those with you. And you might not know this. Do you know that iron is associated with the stones in the land of Israel, ancient Canaan? And I want to read Deuteronomy 8, 6 through 10 about this. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you'll eat food without scarcity, in which you will not lack anything, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. And when you're reading scripture, when you see Canaan is Israel, is the land of Israel. It was called Canaan before they took possession of it. So when you see ancient Canaan, it is speaking about the land of Israel. It's Israel. It's the same land. It's just called Canaan before they took possession. And also to support this, iron, interestingly enough, it's associated with the chariots of the Canaanites who were living in the land of Israel before they took possession. Joshua 17, verse 16, the sons of Joseph said, the hill country is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites who live in the valley land have chariots of iron, both those who are in Bethshean and its towns and those who are in the valley of Jezreel. So the fact that iron is also associated with the land of Israel, that's like, interestingly enough, I'm like, okay, and they're off the Mediterranean, and this king that's, you know, being described, I'm going more towards Israel. Now, Daniel also gives us another key detail later in this chapter in verse 19, and let me read that. Daniel writes there, then I desire to know the meaning of the fourth beast. We're talking about the same beast or king, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron and its claws of bronze, and which devoured, crushed, and trampled down the remainder with its feet. So Daniel gives us another detail in verse 19, or he was given another detail in verse 19, and says that this fourth beast not only had teeth of iron, but it had claws of bronze. So let's look at claws of bronze a little more closely. Are you with me? Okay. Claws is what it means exactly in Aramaic and Hebrew, and it means the claws of an animal, a fingernail, or of a human. So interesting, though, too, claws has the, in its root word, has the idea of departing from a location. So just something to keep in mind. I don't know what that means, but when you look at claws, yeah, it describes the claws of an animal, or, you know, or the fingernails of a human. It could be, you know, if you grow claws as a human, but the Hebrew root word, it has the idea of departing. So we'll see where that comes into play later. Bronze is a precious metal, but just know when you see bronze, it can also mean copper or brass. Bronze, interestingly enough, when you look at scripture, it's associated with battle or war. In Psalm 18:34, we probably are familiar with this. Some athletes have this on their eye black or whatever. He trains my hands for battle so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. So here's an observation, and I mentioned this earlier. The rider with the white horse in John's four horsemen vision, the first seal in Revelation 6, had a bow in his hands. It could very well be a bow of bronze. Now, I also want to mention this, and there's some teaching out there, I'm kind of getting far ahead, and I'll repeat it when we get to Revelation. There's some interpretation saying that because he's riding with the bow with no arrow, he's coming in peace. No, he's not. Bow is associated with war. Look, we just looked at one example. And when you look at scripture and references of bow, Regardless if you had an actual arrow in your hand, signifies war or battle. So when this rider on the white horse appears in a scene, conquering he's conquering not through peace. He's conquering through war. And that's why you look in the further seals of Revelation, right? There's going to be mass death, right? There's going to be also a famine, you name it. It's not peace. And where there's some confusion is because we know that there was going to be some sort of peace agreement, with the nations in which, Antichrist will renegade on that. So they think, oh, maybe if that's the Antichrist, he's coming in peace or something along those lines. But no. The bronze is associated with battle or war. Another thing about bronze, it's associated with pulverizing. I know we can say that about iron, but bronze is also used in that regard. In Micah 4:13, we'll look at just the first half of that verse. Arise and thresh, daughter of Zion, for your horn I will make iron, and your hoofs I will make bronze. There it is, iron and bronze together, that you may pulverize many peoples. So both iron and bronze are associated with crushing one's enemies into pieces. So this fourth king with iron teeth and claws of bronze, he's going to crush his enemies into pieces. And interestingly enough, the teeth and bronze are associated with devouring, crushing, and trampling down the remainder with its feet in the vision of that we're covering, the fourth beast. Now here's another interpretive challenge of bronze. So you stay with me. We're getting to where could this fourth king come from? And we're taking all this into consideration. And because bronze is mentioned, and as we covered in our great statue study, the belly and thighs of bronze in that vision, it no doubt was in reference to the Grecian Empire. And the interpretive challenge is just like we had with the legs of iron, is it the same as the iron teeth? But the fact that they're two different things, does it steer us in another direction? Well, the same challenge is here as well. If bronze always means ancient Greece, does that mean that even whether it's the belly or thighs of bronze or the claws of bronze, that it's talking about ancient Greece? I'm not going to be dogmatic, again, in just eliminating that, if that was the thought. So we'll just keep ancient Greece in play. But here is another interesting thing that steers me back to Israel. Bronze, like iron, is also associated with the land of Israel. And it's the same verse that we've read. Let me reread that one more time, Deuteronomy 8. And I'll go straight to verse 9. And it's talking about the land of Israel, ancient Canaan. A land where you'll eat food without scarcity, in which you will not lack anything. A land whose stones are iron, which we covered, but out of whose hills you can dig copper. And copper can also refer to bronze. So when you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. So all that is to say, if you wanted to say, kind of like where I was initially, that iron is always talking about Rome, bronze is always talking about the ancient Greece or the Grecian Empire, and you want to put them in play as far as where this king, fourth king, will come from, but the fact that the iron and copper association to the land of Israel, it's a strong weight for me to say, well, no, the fourth king, I think more likely will come from Israel or modern day Lebanon or Israel. Which means, here's kind of the answer to our first question, where will this fourth beast come from? The last of four kings in Daniel's four beast visions will likely arise from ancient Canaan, the land of Israel or Judah, and that's the same where the second bear king came from. Interestingly enough, these four beasts in Daniel's vision, it's along the eastern and now southern Mediterranean. It's pretty localized. Middle East. These four kings that Daniel sees in his vision is between Middle East and Egypt. That's it. That's based off of the scriptures and kind of just walking through it. That's where these four beasts come from. That wasn't so painful, huh? Maybe it was a little more. Maybe this one might be. What we have is beast number one is a lion with eagle's wings. Beast number two is bear with three ribs in its mouth. Leopard is with four heads and four wings of a bird. This beast number four, what is it with iron teeth? What is it? So let's look at the latter part of verse 7 when it says, it devoured and crushed and trampled down the remainder with its feet, and it was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. So let's look at when it says, when Daniel says, it devoured and crushed and trampled down the remainder with its feet, and it was different from all the beasts that were before it and had 10 horns, it is referring to the fourth king or kingdom. Now, dreadful, as we covered, it's the same idea of slinking or crawling away in fear, such as a, you know, serpent or to a worm, to back away or to tremble in fear. And crushed and trampled, dekak refas, it means to break into pieces in submission quite literally. Now, one other characteristic about this king with iron teeth, and we're going to get to what beast he is, Daniel says, it devoured and crushed and trampled down the remainder. So let's look a little bit more about the remainder. So on the surface, it might seem like the remainder is referring to the three beasts, the lion, the bear, or the leopard, and that's plausible. Now, one thing to note, however, remainder is shear in Aramaic and Hebrew, and it means remnant or survivors. Shear is used, so if you're saying, you know, when you hear remnant Israel, it's shear. And the remainder here is shear, remnant. The remnant. So all in all, shear, when it pretty much devoured and crushed the remainder, it could implicate not only the three beast kingdoms, but the remnant nations and remnant Israel. Now let's continue to look at the latter half of 7b, when it says, and it was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. It is still referring to the fourth king or kingdom. Now, Jeremy, good, deduction there, when you came across different, which is Shina in Aramaic, which corresponds to Shana in Hebrew, it means to change. Here's something that's interesting concerning Shina. When Shina is used to describe of decrees or covenants, it means that those decrees or covenants were changed, were altered, and were violated. Now, something when we get to further in Daniel's vision, we will see that someone's going to come and altering the times and the laws. You can say the Shina as well, and changing. So the fourth king could be different from the other three beasts that were before it because it altered or changed or violated even a decree or a covenant. And we see that description as Daniel continues to give us revelation into visions he had. Now, I want to talk a little bit about 10 horns. And I'm going to talk about it briefly now, and then we'll get more into it later. If you're taking notes, this is important. This is important when we're trying to understand prophecies and visions in Scripture. The beast with iron teeth is not the horns. We got to get that. That's where, you know, when I didn't make that connection right away, I was going crazy. I was getting confused all over the place. But the beast with iron teeth, or the king with iron teeth, is not the horns. So you can say beast does not equal horns when you're looking at Scripture. The beast had on it 10 horns. It's distinct from it. So in Daniel's visions, and he told us, he gave us the interpretation, he says the four beasts, the lion with eagle's wings, the bear with three ribs in its mouth, the leopard with four heads and four wings of a bird, and the beast with iron teeth, the four beasts are four kings, Meleks. And that's from Daniel 7:17. So in this vision, from the fourth beast, from the fourth king, after the fourth king, 10 other kings will arise from it. And we'll get more into that a little later. So here's the Kataroha Amplified of verse 7. Hopefully this is pulling it all together. Here's when we start plugging in the original. Here's what verse 7 says. After this, the vision of the third beast, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast king, dreadful and terrifying. He caused people to back away like a worm in horror and fear. And this king was extremely strong, surpassing the strength and power of the three kings before it. And it, the fourth king, had large iron teeth. His kingdom was great in stature and great in authority, wielding a sharpened axe and great chains. And it, the fourth king, devoured and crushed and trampled down the remainder. He broke the remnant kingdoms and Israel before it into pieces and submission with his feet. And it was different from the three beast kings that were before it, for he changed, altered the decrees or covenant, and it, this fourth king, had 10 horns. 10 other kings will arise after him. See, going through the, to hopefully make this a little more clearer. So now let's look at the interpretation of Daniel's vision in chapter 7, verses 15 through 28. We're still trying to get to the answer. What is this beast? What is it? Okay, we learned a little bit more about him. Now we're going to start to get more into what it is. Let's pick it up in verse 15. Daniel writes there, "As for me, Daniel, my spirit was distressed within me, and the visions in my mind kept alarming me. I approached one of those who were standing by and began asking him the exact meaning of all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. These great beasts, which are four in number, are four kings who will arise from the earth, but the saints of the highest one will receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever for all ages to come. Then I desired to know the exact meaning of the fourth beast," which is what we're trying to do, "which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron and its claws of bronze, and which devoured, crushed, and trampled down the remainder with its feet, and the meaning of the 10 horns that were on its head, and the other horn which came up, and before which 3 of them fell, namely the horn which had eyes and a mouth uttering great boast, and which was larger in appearance than its associates. I kept looking, and that horn was waging war with the saints and overpowering them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was passed in favor of the saints of the highest one, and the time arrived when the saints took possession of the kingdom." We'll continue on verse 23. "Thus he said, the fourth beast will be a fourth kingdom on the earth." Now this is something that gets a little confusing. He's saying, okay, the fourth beast, the beast with iron teeth, is a fourth king, but it will be a fourth kingdom on the earth. Remember, it's a continuation. So after this beast with iron teeth, there will be a fourth kingdom on the earth, which will be different from all the other kingdoms and will devour the whole earth and tread it down and crush it. As for the 10 horns, out of this kingdom 10 kings will arise, and another will arise after them, and he will be different from the previous ones and will subdue 3 kings. He will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the highest one, and he will intend to make alterations in times and in law, and they will be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time. But the court will sit for judgment, and his dominion will be taken away, annihilated, and destroyed forever. Then the sovereignty, the dominion, and the greatness of all the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be given to the people of the saints of the highest one. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all the dominions will serve and obey him. And it was at this point the revelation ended. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts were greatly alarming me, and my face grew pale, but I kept the matter to myself. So as we covered, we're going to get to where what this beast is, but let's just be patient to get there. These, in verse 17 and 18, when Daniel says, "These great beasts, which are four in number, are four kings who will arise from the earth, but the saints of the highest one will receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever for all ages to come." Here's how you can also reread this verse. He says, "These great beasts, the lion, the bear, the leopard, the iron teeth, which are four in number, are four kings." You can say four world rulers who will arise from the earth, but the saints of the highest one will receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever for all ages to come. So the lion, the bear, the leopard, and the iron teeth are actual leaders of a nation or a country. So it could be a king, queen, prince, president, prime minister, emperor, whoever is at the top, a person. These four beasts in Daniel's vision are four world leaders. Now let's look at verse 20. "And the meaning of the 10 horns that were on its head, and the other horn which came up, and before which three of them fell, namely that horn which had eyes and a mouth uttering great boast, and which was larger in appearance than its associates. And I mentioned this earlier, the beast with iron teeth is not the horns. It had on its head 10 horns. So following this king, this iron teeth, 10 horns, 10 other kings will arise after him. And now what I want to do from here is like, okay, where else in Scripture are 10 horns referenced? That's kind of a clue. When was 10 horns used in Scripture? And Jeremy, we're going to go to the book of Revelation for that. So first I want to begin in Revelation 12, verses 3 and 4. It says there, then another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads were 7 diadems. Now diadems are crowns. And his tail swept away 1/3 of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. So in this passage, we know that the great red dragon, it depicts Satan. So John in his vision is looking into the heavenlies, and he sees this in his vision, a great red dragon. And it's clear here that the great red dragon depicts Satan. So the 10 horns in this vision that John sees of the great red dragon or Satan, the 10 horns is also associated with Satan. Now Satan is depicted as a great red dragon, now catch this, with 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 diadems or crowns. Kind of just keep that a placeholder there. I'm going to have a chart a little later to put this together. You'll see. But now let's go to Revelation 13, verses 1 and 2. And the dragon, and Satan is the subject here, stood on the sand of the seashore. Then I saw a beast coming out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns were 10 diadems, and on his heads were blasphemous names. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. So here we have a beast from the sea in Revelation 13. This one has 7 heads, 10 horns, and 10 diadems. Now I want you to kind of just see this chart really quick. When you're comparing Daniel's and John's vision, there's 3 different beasts and 3 different they're similar, but they're also different in that the 4th king with iron teeth had 1 head, 10 horns, and 0 diadems mentioned. The great red dragon, which was a depiction of Satan, had 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 diadems or crowns. But this beast from the sea that was conjured up by this great red dragon, Satan, had 7 heads, 10 horns, and 10 diadems. And just know, we're going to unpack why is there a difference in some of these. But I just wanted to call this out, that there are some differences, and those are key kind of things to keep in mind. If this one beast to another beast doesn't have the same amount of heads, or the same amount of diadems, why is that? And I think, as we continue to study our book of Revelation, we'll unpack that a little more. But I just wanted to call out that there is a difference between those 3 different beasts. So now let's go back to Revelation 13, verses 1 and 2. Let's look at it one more time now. And the dragon, or Satan, stood on the sand of the seashore. Then I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns were 10 diadems, and on his heads were blasphemous names. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. So in this vision, it says, and the dragon, Satan, stood on the sand of the seashore, and he saw a beast coming up out of the sea. What sea? Very good. How do we know that? It doesn't say Mediterranean in Revelation 13, but how do we know that the beast coming out of the sea is the great Mediterranean Sea? How do we know that? Well, Jeremy, here's where we are. This is the clue that we first get in Revelation 10. If you go a few chapters earlier, I saw another strong angel coming down out of heaven, clothed with a cloud, and the rainbow was upon his head, and his face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire, and he had in his hand a little book. What little book? Which was open. And he placed his right foot on the sea and his left on the land. This kind of also supporting the Mediterranean countries, sea and land, the Mediterranean countries on that sea. And he cried out with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. A lion roars. And when he cried out, the seven peals of thunder uttered their voices. And I'm going to say this just up front. I believe the little book is the book of Daniel in John's vision. Why? The book of Daniel, as I mentioned this in the very beginning of our introduction, it's the most comprehensive visions concerning the end times. And this angel is taking this little book in which the visions were sealed. And it's really primarily sealed to the people of Israel. But the time will come when that spirit of super is released, is taken away, and they will now see it. If you ask me, what do I think the little book is? It's the book of Daniel. So with that, the book of Daniel and John's vision, they are coming to fruition. What Daniel saw is describing the same thing that John saw or seeing, and it's now happening. So the first beast in Daniel's vision is a lion. Now what's interesting is the first beast in Daniel's four beast vision is a lion with eagle's wings. And as we've covered before, later the two wings of a great eagle, had its wings plucked out. And then when you read the book of Revelation, what's interesting, it says two wings of a great eagle was given to the woman Israel to be taken swiftly to the wilderness. Put it kind of together. This lion with wings, and we talked about a little bit about that, when it came to attacking Israel, this also picture that, okay, I'm going to take those wings off, give it to the woman, and I'm going to take her to safety. Pretty, pretty cool stuff, how when you kind of let Daniel unfold at the pace that we're doing, looking at it, John, they're starting to harmonize a little more, and hopefully as we get further, that will continue to be the case. But is there anything else that connects the little book in Revelation to Daniel? And Jeremy, this is where you were on point. Let's relook at Revelation 13, verses 1 and 2 again. And the dragon Satan stood on the sand of the seashore. Then I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads. And on his horns were 10 diadems, and on his heads were blasphemous names. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. Interestingly enough, the first three beasts in Daniel's vision are all mentioned in John's vision. Beast number one was a lion. Beast number two was a bear. Beast number three is a leopard. And then beast number four followed or came after the first three beasts. Now, when you're studying scripture and you're using scripture with scripture, when you want to know, are you talking about the same thing? There needs to be something that connects you. You know, you're like, there's a word, or there's something, there's a description that syncs you, like connects you like a chain. This one connects. Three beasts in Daniel's, the first three beasts in Daniel's vision are all mentioned in Revelation 13, verses 1 and 2, and then the fourth beast followed. So here's the case in point. Why I went through all that, and it's going to lead us to ultimately what this beast is. The fourth beast or fourth kingdom that arises after the fourth king with iron teeth, it is the beast that comes out of the sea. So if you're taking notes, when in Daniel's vision, when it says the fourth beast will also be a fourth kingdom that will arise, John is describing that in his vision of the beast that is coming out of the sea or the Mediterranean Sea. And we established the great sea in Daniel's vision is the great Mediterranean Sea. So the beast coming up out of the sea is the beast coming up out of the Mediterranean Sea. You know what this does? It removes a lot of subjectivity and guesses, doesn't it? It removes other countries. It removes other world rulers. The scripture and the prophecy and the descriptions and looking at the original brings us to the land of Israel and in the Middle East. That's where it takes us, and that's where we're staying. So There's more into Daniel's vision about the little horn, and we're going to save that for some upcoming studies. But there's a lot more about John's vision about the beast of the sea and the beast of the earth, and we'll unpack that also in future studies. But I want to draw you, and this is what I was hoping. This is like, I wanted to get to a key word that will tell us what kind of beast it was. We know it's a hybrid, but there's also something pretty, pretty fascinating. Now let's look at it one more time. And the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore. Then I saw a beast coming up out of the sea. So beast is therion in Greek. It means wild beast, but you know it's also used to describe a venomous viper. Look at Acts 28. Remember when Paul, when he was on the island of Malta, and he was gathering sticks by the fire, and it says, you remember the story when he got bitten? Let's read that account, Acts 28, verses 3 and 6. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened itself on his hand. When the natives saw the creature, the therion, the viper, hanging from his hand, they began saying to one another, undoubtedly this man is a murderer, and though he had been saved from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live. However, he shook the therion, he shook the viper, he shook the beast off into the fire and suffered no harm. Now here's something that's interesting. In the garden, what creature did Satan enter into deceiving the woman? Serpent. Interesting. This is just pretty fascinating. Snakes at one point had arms and feet, but then it was cursed. It was made to. But now there's a serpent that's kind of stood up with what, feet of a bear and like that of a leopard and a mouth of a lion. Pretty, pretty interesting how a serpent, a venomous serpent, and when we'll get into the study of a great dragon, actually that's also the great serpent, a great dragon, that this beast that comes up out of the sea, that beast also is a picture of a venomous viper or serpent. So that was where we get to. So now we're going to wrap this up. I know we went a little over, but we're finally getting to the end. So what kind of beast is the fourth king? And we got from Daniel's vision, it was dreadful, terrifying, exceedingly strong. It had large iron teeth. So whatever that image that would be more accurate has to reflect large iron teeth, claws of bronze, and we know that it devoured the remnant nations, and you can say Israel with its feet. It was different from the other nations, for it altered decrees and laws, and after him will arise 10 horns or 10 kings. And then after those 10 kings, there's going to be this little horn, this 11th king, who's going to subdue 3 kings. That little horn, that 11th king, as we'll see, is going to be the Antichrist. So that was concerning the king with iron teeth. But now let's look into John's visions, where we'll get more into the vision of the kingdom that comes after the fourth beast. It'll have 10 horns or 10 kings. It'll have 7 heads or 7 kingdoms or 7 mountains. It'll have 10 crowns or 10 kings. It has 7 heads, 7 kingdoms, 7 mountains with will be blasphemous names. But here's where this kingdom is described. It is like a leopard. It has the feet of a bear and has the mouth of a lion. And Satan gave, the dragon gave him, Satan's power and his Satan's throne and great authority. It is a dragon, a serpent, and a viper. So this is the best image that I could find on Google. It's not completely 100%, but it had a leopard, it was like a leopard. But you see the tail? It's kind of like a serpent at least. Bear, the feet of a bear, and then the mouth of a lion. And those are iron teeth. So the beast, it is a hybrid. It is a hybrid with a dragon or a serpent or a viper. It's a hybrid of all that. That's what the scripture describes as this beast with iron teeth that'll ultimately become a fourth kingdom that's a hybrid of all these things.
Thank you so much for joining us today at Truth Matters Church. Please tune in next week as we explore more in the book of Daniel, specifically the ram and the goat, as we prepare for our expository study in the book of Revelation. And if you happen to miss any of our past studies in this series, check out our website to download those at truthmatterschurch.org, or simply subscribe to this podcast to access the full list. And if you're in Northern California, we'd love to have you join us for this small group every Friday night. Details are on our website, again, truthmatterschurch.org. Contending for the faith, one verse at a time. This is Truth Matters Church.